It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and it's that time of year when we're thinking about maybe getting to warmer climates. It's not that cool yet, but it's getting there. All the leaves are brown, the sky is gray, so what could be better than some California dreaming on an autumn day? This week, our Golden Girl contributor, Elaine LaBombe, who tweets about food and travel under the Twitter handle New Girl in Town, takes us to the Golden State. Hello, Elaine. How are you?
Hey, I'm great. How are you, Paul?
I'm well, thank you. New Girl, you're just back from an extended holiday in California. It's a bit of a trek from east to west, so is this really the time to go?
Yeah, I have to tell you, and you know, I spent many years living in Northern California, San Francisco. April, May, and September, October are always the best weather of the year. The fog clears out, clear skies, a little bit warmer. You cannot pick a better time of year to be there. So we were there just as the weather was improving. All you need to keep in mind is that you've got to have always a hoodie or a jacket with you in California. It's on the coast. It can, you know, get cold at any time, but there is no better time to visit California than in the early fall. And I've got lots of ideas and suggestions I brought today. So listeners need to have their paper and pencil or laptop handy, or just listen to the audio later today if they can't get it all down.
All right. Well, you started out in San Francisco, which was your home for many years. What's new and exciting or as good as you remember?
I know you're just going to say, you're killing me. But in San Francisco, it really is all about food, glorious food. And what I can tell you is that we went back to several of our favorite haunts. Started out in North Beach, the Italian district, the Marzipan Bear Claws Cafe Trieste, you know, segueing to the Mission District, the Latin Quarter, for just the most amazing huevos rancheros, the great Mexican food. You know, dinner a couple nights was at our favorite Vietnamese restaurant, Tu Lan, where four people can still eat for $30. And what I'm telling you is that you can still get great cheap eats in San Francisco, and in the era of those, you know, Google millionaires, the dot-com millionaires, it has certainly gotten more expensive to visit San Francisco. So you've got to look at the Airbnb options. You've got to look at some of the neighborhoods that are a little bit further out when you consider your lodging or staying either on the north or the east side of the bay. But there are certainly, you know, ways to skirt those things. And in a city like San Francisco, the iconic things are still true. You want to go to the top of Twin Peaks or Coit Tower for the views. You go out to the ocean. I mean, we've got three rivers here, but they've got the Pacific Ocean, sunset at Ocean Beach. You take that cable car ride. You hike on Mount Tamalpais. You absolutely rent bikes to cross the Golden Gate Bridge by bike. There's no better way to do it. You consider, you know, a morning run on the Marina Green right there on the San Francisco Bay, looking out at the Golden Gate Bridge. You go to the Napa Valley. You know, a combination of food and wine is unparalleled. Lunch at a place like a Bistro Jean T. New finds, though, too, in the Mission District, the Latin Quarter, which is now somewhat being taken over by the dot-com folks. There was a place that we found called Dandelion, where it's a gourmet chocolate shop, a singular chocolate chip cookie. I actually brought home half a dozen with me. So
did you bring any in today?
Haven't been here in a couple weeks, so I did not, but we can always order them.
So, I have to say, I do love San Francisco, and I've lived in places that are on the water. I lived in Boston, and it's mm-hmm. a whole different vibe on the Atlantic Ocean than it is on the Pacific Ocean. And just something about when the sun sets on the bay, as the song goes, I mean, there really is something to that. I don't think there's a more beautiful spot in the world.
No, it is absolutely magical. And to be there and to see that, see, and that's something that really costs you nothing. I mean, granted, you have to get to San Francisco, you need a place to stay, but it's those simple things, the views, you know, that great little Mexican breakfast, you know, riding on that cable car, those things, you know, going hiking, biking, those things cost you, you know, little to nothing. And that is exactly how you should experience San Francisco and Northern California.
Now, meanwhile, a trek to Yosemite National Park, we understand, was one of the most stunning aspects of your trip for somewhat surprising reasons.
Yeah, I have to tell you, we were unprepared for the magnitude of the California drought. Now, granted, when we were in San Francisco, it was a bit warmer than usual, but their drought is going on 4 years now. So we get to Yosemite National Park looking to show our son some of the iconic waterfalls, Yosemite Falls, Bridal Veil, Vernal Falls. Well, the first two were completely dry. They're gone, Paul. Iconic waterfalls.
Really?
Vernal Falls is now but a trickle. Used to be a raging waterfall. The Mist Trail had no mist on it. So you still want to go to Yosemite, but I think that you do it with a new sense of awareness, you know, a profound appreciation for what's there. You know, visit it, enjoy the trails, but they're so dusty and dry now, and it's because of the conditions, the epic drought in Northern California. We did take a drive up to Tuolumne Meadows, the high country, while we were in Yosemite, and hiked around some of the lakes like Dog Lake and whatnot, and that was a beautiful thing to do. But I will say it's still my favorite national park in the country, but visited it with a very different set of eyes.
And we're talking with Elaine LaBalme. She is our travel correspondent, and she tweets about food and travel under the Twitter handle New Girl in Town. Heading south from the Bay Area, you explored coastal haunts in Monterey, Santa Cruz, and Big Sur. What can you tell us about
that? Yeah, and this is, again, approaching sort of that central California coastal area, which looks somewhat different than the San Francisco Bay Area. So using Monterey as our home base, we went south to Big Sur, did some wonderful hiking in the Julia Pfeiffer Big Sur State Park. Beautiful, you know, redwood trees, great places for views like Ventana and Nepenthe restaurants, both, you know, still as good as I remembered. Went tide pooling in the Point Lobos State Reserve there, you know, the sea anemones, just beautiful setting. Went up to Santa Cruz for the Santa Cruz Beach Boardwalk, rode the Giant Dipper, the fabled wooden roller coaster. It's still as much fun as I remember. Getting down to Carmel Beach, you know, just tossing the Frisbee, finding little places for lunch and shopping and whatnot. So using Monterey, which, you know, John Steinbeck memorialized in Cannery Row and whatnot, is a wonderful sort of coastal toehold to explore a lot of other coastal cities there that have great charms, you know, again, food to those iconic theme parks.
And in Southern California, okay, we've been talking a lot about Northern, but in Southern California, you choose Santa Barbara over L.A. Now, tell us why.
Well, I got to tell you, I mean, the stories I hear about L.A., you know, L.A. has great charms, too, but the traffic, we just couldn't wrap our arms around it. We decided to stay north of that sort of L.A. Glut and went as far south as Santa Barbara, much more accessible, smallish towns, which still have beautiful beaches. Butterfly Beach in Santa Barbara, one of the prettiest beaches you'll find in the Southland. The main beach, also lovely. Great, you know, running and biking paths there, good weather, lots of Spanish-style charm. We stayed at a little place called the Montecito Inn in the heart of Santa Barbara, Montecito area, which was beautiful. So right away, you feel that sort of Southern California vibe, but you're not in that dense, crazy, packed L.A., and you can still go to great beaches. So I say go to Santa Barbara.
Okay. And last but not least, you swoon over the tiny town of Ojai. Am I saying that right?
Actually, it's Ojai.
Ojai, of course. He figures. Well, guy from Pittsburgh, you know, not knowing how to say things, you know, not knowing how to pronounce the Spanish things properly. Ojai, California.
Oh,
it's spelled O-J-A-I, but it's Ojai.
It's Ojai, yes. And this is a little town that's less than an hour east of Santa Barbara, but yet a completely different landscape. It's in these foothill mountains. It's warm, it's dry, it's quiet, sweet little town. We parked ourselves at a place called the Ojai Valley Inn and Spa for several days. Just these little low-slung, whitewashed buildings. I mean, you know, they've got the golf and spa thing going on and swimming and whatnot.
Nothing wrong with that.
No, nothing wrong with that. Great food. We had the most amazing Italian dinner at a restaurant called Olivella, where they made this, I remember it, broccoli souffle. Who would think that would taste good? a broccoli souffle.
Well, not me.
I didn't eat it. This was one of the best things I've ever eaten. So you go to a place like this and you just completely decompress. And it's sort of a throwback to what California used to be many, many decades ago. These small little towns with great little charms to them. And finding one like Ojai, it's kind of like that diamond in the rough. Highly recommend it.
Did you get to Dodger Stadium while you were in the L.A. area?
I did not.
Because that may be a debt where a lot of people from Pittsburgh may be going. Now, I'm trying to be optimistic here because they now, after losing last night, and I sat through that 11-1 loss to the Cardinals in the left field bleachers. But after losing that game, they now have to play the wild card game next week. If they win that, they have to get by the Cardinals. But then if they win that, likely they would face the Dodgers for the National League pennant. So some people from Pittsburgh might be going out to
L.A. Yes, well, let me say this. If you get out there, win or lose, do work your way north to Central and Northern California because it's well worth it.
Elaine LaBalm is our travel contributor. And again, she tweets about food and travel under the Twitter handle, New Girl in Town. New Girl, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Tomorrow on Essential Pittsburgh, we'll talk with 33-year-old Braddock photographer and video artist LaToya Ruby Frazier, who on Tuesday received a MacArthur Foundation Award, a genius grant. We'll hear from her about that. And also, we'll talk about how Pennsylvania is celebrating the 75th anniversary of America's first superhighway. That would be the Pennsylvania Turnpike. That's tomorrow on Essential Pittsburgh. Until then, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. So long for now.